Spartans, what is your profession?
Everybody, welcome back. Hope y'all are doing well. Sorry this is late, but springtime in SoCal is here, and I have tons of work to do. That clip you heard was Gerard Butler from the testosterone-filled 300. Yeah. You know that clip that I just played for you? That is the notification sound on my telephone. When I get a text or an email, that plays. I love it. Now, when I get a phone call, my phone ring is Eastbound and Down by Jerry Reed from the movie Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah. All right, let's get to the show. This is the last episode talking about production. And with this one, I want to share with you an epiphany I had. Let me switch hats for a second. Let me put on my cyber dad hat. For you youngsters out there, you will continually mature and your knowledge will continue to grow as you age. It's not like you get to a certain age and you don't learn anything. I used to think when I was a youngin, that a grown-up's knowledge capped out by a certain age. It reached a certain level and then stopped. Well, it doesn't. That was not true. You continue to learn until your last breath is taken. And my epiphany is something that I've just experienced in the last few months, and I want to share it with you. I still have my cyber dad hat on. You know, life is all about decisions. Where your life goes is based on the decisions that you make. I told my son that since he was old enough to understand words. And I still tell him that. I refreshed his memory on that concept just last week. He's a little disenchanted with his job right now. An example that I used in just a recent episode. You know, I fired three Brooks. Had I not fired three Brooks, maybe, possibly, I wouldn't have had the issues that I had on set during the making of The Hike. Cyber Dad goes away. Here is filmmaker Dave. Zack Snyder, many of you know who Zack Snyder is. He's a writer-director, and he's very polarizing. Okay, so just because I brought up his name, don't stop listening. It's going to be very brief. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast a few weeks ago. Now, the Joe Rogan podcast, I listen to people who are interesting to me. I don't listen to Joe Rogan every week. I'm not a Rogan fanboy. But if there's a filmmaker or an actor or a musician, singer-songwriter, I want to hear what that person has to say. Not so much about politics, not so much about social issues. I don't need that bullshit in my life right now. All right, so Zack Snyder was on, and he was talking about his career and his movies. Say what you will about Zack Snyder and his polarizing self. You know, you either hate the guy or you love the guy. I guess I'm in the middle, actually. I don't hate him and I don't love him, but he's a filmmaker, and I wanted to see if there were any nuggets I could take from that podcast coming out of his mouth. But as a father, I feel for Zack Snyder because his daughter committed suicide while he was cutting Justice League. He left post-production in Justice League, and Josh Whedon took his place. Now, you parents out there understand the complete and total soul destruction that would occur in your being if your child commits suicide. So I applaud Zack Snyder for getting through that. And since that has happened, he has been an advocate for suicide prevention. He has been an advocate for child and teen suicide prevention. So just on that alone, I felt like I needed to listen to what Zack Snyder had to say. Well, he started talking about Rebel Moon, which is on Netflix, and then Rebel Moon Part 2 just dropped. I have not seen Rebel Moon, but he was talking about there is a Netflix cut, and then there's going to be a Zack Snyder director's cut, which will be released. I wasn't sure if it was going to be released on Netflix or in like a Blu-ray, 4K streaming platform kind of thing. I'm not sure Netflix is going to have the Zack Snyder director's cut, so don't hold me to that. But there is going to be a director's cut. And he was talking about the differences between Rebel Moon, the Netflix version, and his version. And he was talking about, you know, more violence, sex, nudity, blah, blah, blah. And of course, that perked my ears up. And not in a perverted way. Come on now, you guys. And that was pretty much the beginning of my epiphany. Now, I want to be clear about this. I have no regrets about writing what I wrote in The Hike, for making the film that I made, because it can be polarizing. It can be controversial. A lot of film festivals didn't accept it, I'm sure, because of the content. The dialogue. I've never shied away from telling people I pushed the envelope. That was my goal. I wanted to. Plus, you know, I just wanted to show the hypocrisy of Hollywood, that it can show all this violence and it can even show sex. Have you guys seen Poor Things yet? There's so much sex in that movie. My God. And it's visual. It's there. It's like in your face sex. But in The Hike, when Grady has a monologue about what he does to a hooker, that just turns people off. Why is that? It's just words. But words are very powerful because you, as a viewer, can form the visual in your head. Back to my point. I'm perfectly happy with the cut of The Hike that I have. But I wish I would have done a milder version of the movie and then saved the cut that is the movie on Vimeo right now as the director's cut. I'm sure it would have played more film festivals, would have got more accolades. I'm sure of it. And just to hear Zack, the way he talked about dealing with the studios, he's done a number of director's cuts of his films for different studios. He was so nonchalant about it, and he didn't even think about it. He didn't think twice about it. It was like, oh, okay, no problem. I'll just make two cuts. One for you guys and one for me. And that, you know, that kind of eluded me. At the time we were cutting The Hike, my attitude was, this is my movie, this is my vision, this is the way I want to release it. I remember my editor and I even had a conversation about taking out certain visuals, certain words, just to make it more commercial. In that moment, I mean, you're talking to a grown-ass adult in his 50s. And my ego and my stubbornness still got the best of me. Now, to be fair, this conversation with my editor took place pretty much at the end of the editing of the movie. If I would have said, yes, let's make a more commercial cut, it wasn't just simply going in and taking words out or taking scenes out. It would have been more time-consuming than that. And my editor was charging me money to edit my movie. Honestly, I had no more money to spend. I couldn't afford to pay the editor any more money to go back into the movie and give me a different cut of the movie. So the point of this whole episode is, if you're going to push the envelope, if you want to make a movie that could be controversial or will be controversial, in pre-production, when you're budgeting, allow enough money to go to post-production so you can take the time to make a second cut. And speaking of post-production, not to mention, you know, I sent The Hike to a post-production studio in Burbank where I spent $30,000. And that was just for one version of the movie. You know, I don't know how much more they would have charged to move all their files over to another version of the movie. I'm not sure how that works. If you're going to do two versions of a movie, All I can tell you is it's going to cost you more money. Okay, that is the bottom line. I know what you're thinking. Dave, I'm going to do all the post-production work on my film, so it's not going to cost me anything. Well, yeah, it really will. It's going to cost you time, that's for sure. If you're going to go to film festivals with digital projectors, your film has to be converted into this hard drive that you can hand to a festival. Now, forgive me, I don't remember the actual name of this process, but there are numerous places in LA that will convert your movie and put it in this hard drive looking box that just slides into a digital projector. The Pasadena Film Festival, where we premiered, they did not accept Vimeo or YouTube digital copies. They had digital projectors, and they wanted your film converted and put on this hard drive that they can plug into their projector, and there goes the movie. Well, those things cost. Believe me when I tell you that. So if you have two movies, are you going to do two digital hard drives for digital projectors? Hoping, fingers crossed, that you get into a bunch of festivals that have digital projectors. Some film festivals will ask for those. Some film festivals won't. Blu-rays, 4Ks, you can play in your home or on your computer. Are you going to make copies of both films? That's going to cost you. So if you're going to do something that's out there and you think your movie's going to get people's panties in a wad, consider making two versions. But remember, it's going to cost more money. And if you don't have the money, you may have to really dig down deep and think about, do you want to make a movie that is a little more commercial than the movie that you want to make, than the movie you dreamed of making? Or do you want to stick to your guns, push the envelope, be daring, make the movie that you want to make, and let the chips fall where they may? Just give it a thought. Give it some consideration. Try to get your emotions out of it. Try to get your ego out of it. And please, please understand, I have no regrets. I don't look backwards. Okay, I can't stand dwelling on shit that has already happened because it's just a waste of energy and it's a waste of time. But in the future, if I'm lucky enough to make another movie, and the sequel to The Hike is better than The Hike, trust me when I tell you that, I will strive to make two versions of the movie. And I will strive to make one more commercial than the one that I want to make, that I want to see. The one that I want to see and I want to make is going to push the boundaries. But if the story is rock solid, which it is, then these little things aren't going to make any difference whatsoever to the quality of the storytelling. It's like I said a couple of episodes ago, if you've got something that pushes the boundaries, just read it. Read it again. Visualize it in your head. Do you need it? Do you have to have it? And if you answer no, then make a version without it. But if you, as the filmmaker, really want to see it the way you wrote it, then shoot it that way and make your version of it. Just understand it's going to cost more money. But that commercial version will probably do much better in film festivals. I can tell you that for sure. But I don't want to get ahead of myself because we will talk about film festivals in future podcasts. All right, let me get out of here. We will be back. Not sure when, but we will be back with post-production. It's going to be a short season because I'm not so sure many of you are going to send your movie to a post-production house and spend $30,000. If you do, it's going to sound amazing. But if you don't have those resources, I totally understand. And I will still provide you with some things that you can think about as far as post-production work goes. Let's get out of here. Hope you all have a great summer. All summer long, remember, be a lion and not a sheep. Later.